This hourly segment is brought to you by Garden Sense. One station making history every day.
Chicago, Chicago.
Now, Stephanie Trussell.
8 Chicago, it is still the best day ever. Even though a lot of the people in the media are saying that the Tea Party took a hit, I am still so excited about being a fired up conservative at this time in history. It's so exciting. You want to get on the line right now, 312-591-8900. We're going to be talking about what happened this week in D.C., and we will be separating the boys from the men, the true conservatives from those that are just out there trying to get in on the popular table, and they're not really out there fighting for what we believe in. Right now, we are. I have the pleasure of welcoming via the phone on the Super Celebrity Hotline, C. Stephen Tucker. A couple weeks ago, he was in our studio for four hours taking amazing calls from people that had questions. On Monday, he was on Windy City Live. Thank you for calling in today, Stephen.
Hi, Stephanie. Thanks for having me back on.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure. I started watching it on, I taped it, and I was excited about watching you on what they call the We the People edition, and I want to rename it We the Liberal Obamanite People edition. That audience was packed with people that obviously love and worship Obama. The panel had a lot of Obamanites on it, and there you were. So I started watching it on Monday while I was folding laundry, and then I realized, oh, no, I'm going to have to take notes. So I put it off. I got really busy this week, and I didn't watch it until 1 o'clock this morning when I was preparing for this show. That's why I'm like, oh, no, I got to get you on to talk about and follow up on what happened that day. And I think you did a great job. You were sitting next to Luis Gutierrez, who would give illegals health care before he would give it to me. So that's a whole nother issue. But I applaud you for sitting there, taking those arrows on the front line, and you were amazing. And let's talk about that appearance. And what do you feel that I think your message got across pretty well. What do you think?
Yes, I'm hoping so. You know, it was kind of a bit of a setup because, you know, the producer said, you know, would you be opposed to having someone who supports the law on the panel? And I said, oh, absolutely not. I would prefer that. I did not know until I was in the green room that I would be debating a sitting U.S. congressman. And I actually didn't know until I walked on the set. I saw Congressman Gutierrez come into the green room. And then the social media producer said, can we get a picture of the two of you, you with the congressman? I said, sure. And so I went over to shake his hand, and we took our publicity shot. And then I walked on the set in front of a live audience, and the grip said, now, when you're debating the congressman, you'll be sitting on the right side of the table. I said, oh, I'm debating the congressman. Oh, okay.
All right. Wait, I'm sorry, Stephen. Had you ever met him prior to this?
I have not.
Okay.
No. So, anyway, so that we had, the introductions, then we came and sat, and I did not know that I would be not only debating the congressman, but the three other hosts of the show, and then an audience with IRS agents and public sector union workers who are all so upset and worried that, quote, the diapers will run out because we haven't had our...
Yeah, I heard that, too, that all these moms won't be able to give their kids formula because of this government shutdown. And I'm thinking, I didn't realize that the government was supposed to feed my kids. I didn't even know that. I raised five of them, and I didn't realize I could have gotten it taken care of by the government. What happened to the dads? But it's always the government's responsibility to provide the diapers and the formula. But go ahead.
Yeah, and really, many of the public sector workers, they get paid twice a month. So at that point, we had the government, 17% of the partial shutdown for 14 days. They haven't even missed a check yet, and yet somehow they're running out of diapers. So I thought that was a bit hyperbolic, to say the least.
What struck me is that in watching it, and I just watched it this morning, as I said, at 1 o'clock in the morning, 312-591-8900, if you'd like to talk about what happened in D.C. and the shutdown and did it damage the Tea Party brand. The congressman wasn't able to look you in the eye. I noticed that. Every time he talked to the panel, he looked them right in the eye. But when he was, you know, listing all the things that this evil Tea Party fraction of our the GOP has done, he was not able to look you in the eye. And to me, that was very telling of his character and him believing in what he was saying.
Yes, exactly. You know, and he referred to, unfortunately, Senator Ted Cruz as a Canadian, as though, you know, his support for amnesty only applies to those from Mexico.
Oh, and good point.
No one from Canada is welcome.
Sorry, no, get back. Right. Overall, yeah, so. I, you know, it's really hard when, even though you're loaded with facts and you've got all this information and you can go to truthaboutobamacare.com to find out everything that you guys are doing, it's hard when you're outnumbered. And I think maybe had it been a congressman or somebody, or maybe you could have debated somebody on their side that is a professional at your level, and then you could have gone back and forward on that, because you had to throw in so many different issues that you as a citizen really shouldn't be speaking of when you're talking to a congressman. It's a little bit different level of, you know, knowledge and responsibility, and they could go off on a tangent, and then if you were trying to address that, they immediately say, wait, let's just stick to, you know, this. And it was very interesting. But again, I think you did a good job, considering that most people probably would have said, no, thank you, I don't want to go and debate somebody on air in front of, you know, an audience, and, you know, in a situation where you would be, you know, clearly outnumbered.
Yes, yes, yeah. I should actually play you some of the voicemails left in my office from people. Well, actually, I don't think they could be aired on WLS.
Oh, my God. You mean people in support of you, or?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I was the most hated man in the room, and then I found out just how hated when I got back to my office and realized the messages that were left in my voicemail from watchers.
Well, you know, so, we don't do things to be liked. In that case, we wouldn't be standing up for what we believe in. If we just wanted to keep things harmonious and unruffled, we'd go along and pretend that Obamacare is not the biggest train wreck to come down the pike in a very long time. So I know you can take it, and it probably fires you up just to know you get deeper in your core beliefs and say, hey, you expect that, I'm sure.
I do, yeah. I've been on the front lines of this battle for 3 years, going on four now. You know, so I find it comical that, you know, people won't take 5 minutes to Google to see if what Mr. Tucker said that day was true or not. They'll simply call me a racist and, you know, all the other words I cannot use on WLS. And it's just so funny, because there was nothing that was not factual that I stated. The sequester was Barack Obama's decision. It was his idea. And you can hear the audience just gasp as I say that.
How dare you give them facts?
Yeah, how dare I?
Right, and what the congressman kept doing, he's on that Jesse Jackson train of, let's not call it Obamacare, but he kept slipping into calling it Obamacare. But what you said was, they spent how much money shoving it down our throats with marketing campaigns to make sure we call it Obamacare, but now that it's a disaster and a train wreck, let's distance the first half-black president from this wreck. So let's not call it Obamacare now. And you drove it home that that was his idea. This is his, what did you call it, signature bill, correct?
That is correct, yes, and he has been calling it Obamacare for many years. So he refers to it in public speeches, and it was funny what the congressman said, that he thinks it's a pejorative and that it's horrible, and then he, in the next sentence, he says, but I call it Obamacare wherever I go.
Right, so they're so gifted at talking out of both sides of their neck, and I know you're busy, but I have a sickness, and maybe Obamacare will cover it, but I turn to liberal media, and I listen to it, and I heard Jesse Jackson yesterday. He wants all the pastors to go to their pulpit, and they need 7 million people to sign up for Obamacare in order to make this thing work, because you have a bunch of sick people signing up and no healthy young people with money, it's not going to work. So he wants people to go to the pastors to preach from their pulpit that Obamacare is, you know, he said not Obamacare, affordable care. And what gets me is that his message is not being challenged. And if I know they would never ask you to come on to Rainbow Push Radio or any media where he's holding these exchanges. He was actually on air yesterday signing people up and for the Obamacare, and he even said, hey, the computer doesn't work, a lot of us don't have computers, just go ahead and call. Here we are with, as we've heard over the weekend, 10-year-old technology. We originally budgeted $94 million for this great computer system, and it's, as of May, it's been $292 million has been spent on a failed computer system. Are you shocked by this, that that something that the government is in charge of is not working well?
I am not, and actually the actual cost thus far has been over $634 million on this disastrous computer program, the Affordable Care Act exchanges. So, you know, they're blaming everything on the glitches, and the congressman referred to, you know, you can have some glitches with Apple as well. Well, the difference is we don't have to buy Apple if we don't like the glitches.
And one thing about the Apple, because I just upgraded my phone, there were a couple glitches, but I could still make calls on my phone, and I could still do mostly everything that I pay for it to do. It was just a couple things, and they fixed it immediately, and it didn't cost the government $292 million to do it. And so that's the difference that I keep trying to, when people say to me that this is going to be great, and it's like, what government agency have you gone into recently when you sat around and looked and thought, wow, this place is run so efficiently. I should run my business like this. This is awesome. Not everybody's taking lunch at the same time. Everybody's friendly and knowledgeable. The computers are up to date. No, not where I go. I don't have anything against government employees, but we know that there's waste, and we know that Obamacare could have addressed the issues that they always love to put up front, but they had to take over the entire thing. So tell us something positive about what happened on Wednesday and Tuesday night. In the aftermath, did the Tea Party take a hit? Or if you're like me, you're fired up. What do you think?
Oh, I'm more fired up than I was before. You know, I have grave concerns about the establishment Republicans, because they really are the ones that acquiesced in the end. And if they had just held out a little bit longer, Stephanie,
couldn't do it.
The next couple of days after they acquiesced and gave in, NBC News finally confirmed that I am no longer a racist and extremist, because they came out with an article stating thousands and thousands of Americans receiving policy termination notices because of Obamacare. If they had just held out for another week, those letters would have went out from Humana, Aetna, Blue Cross, all over the country. And we would have had a lot more support for our side when people realize, my God, it's not true. I can't keep my plan, and my out-of-pocket expenses are doubling. My premiums are doubling. What is going on here? Maybe the Republicans are right here.
Well, thank you, Stephen, for driving that home. And you keep the message, and you stay fired up. To me, Boehner just proved that self-tanner makes you weak in the knees, and he gave in way too soon. 312-591-8900. We're going to keep taking calls on this. We'll be right back after this message. I assume that some people think, oh, Stephanie's not talking as much as she normally does because she's licking her wounds behind what happened and how everybody's been jumping on the Tea Party, blaming them for what's going on. If they hadn't divided the party, we would have gotten this. And hey, we're sitting in Illinois. We know what happens when our parties work together. We're in debt. We don't have a pension plan. We've got so many issues in Illinois. Working with the other side is not always the be-all to end-all. And whenever we stand firm in our beliefs, we're inflexible. We're stiff-necked. But Obama's always so willing to come to the other side, and we know that is not true. 312-591-8900. If you'd like to text in your comments, 68683. And right away, I have to apologize. People usually send in some great texts, and sometimes I forget to read them. And I'm going to try to get better at that. It's just so many things going on, but it's very positive texts. And usually they make me smile, and I forget to mention them on the air. I am more fired up. Yes, we lost the battle, but this is a war in the long run, and we just can't shy away from our beliefs just because a bunch of people folded and a bunch of people get on TV, along with the media and everybody else, that's saying that we were wrong for believing that. And I stand with Ted Cruz, and this is a time when we have to decide what's the best thing for our country in the long run. It would be so easy for him just to say, okay, I was wrong, and I'm going to go and stand in line with these other rhinos that that went along with the party. But I wouldn't respect anybody like that. And I posted that, I believe, on Wednesday. I couldn't be an elected official. If I had to just spend weeks and days and hours in a room, you know, debating with people and trying to prove that their message is completely wrong, and then in the light of day, I have to come out and stand at a podium next to someone saying, oh, they're so great and we work together, I would projectile vomit all over the stage. There's no way my body would allow me to lie like that after I just sat there and said, this person is, you know, out to get, you know, to affect the policies, blah, blah, blah. And then 5 minutes later, I have to say, but they're so awesome because they gave in to what you wanted. I don't work like that. 312-591-8900. We're going to go to Terrence in Chicago. Thank you for holding, Terrence.
Terrence, this is your cousin. I mean, Stephanie, this is your cousin, Terrence. How are you?
I have a lot of cousins, but anyway, are you sure? No, okay.
This is your cousin, Terry.
Okay, all right. Go ahead. I know you're calling to disagree with me because apparently I was a switch to birth in the hospital. I'm the only loudmouth conservative out of how many grandkids, but go ahead.
Quite a few, and I hate to interrupt your projectility.
Please do. And I hated to give that visual to everyone, but that's seriously what would happen if I had to get up and say something nice about Nancy Pelosi. Are you kidding me? But go ahead, Terrence, make your point.
Well, you know, I saw your posting on Facebook today, and you were saying something to the effect of whether or not the Tea Party in any way has been adversely affected by the things that have happened over the last week or a couple of weeks or so.
Okay.
And, you know, when I started thinking about things, I initially was thinking, well, yeah, I guess so. And then upon further reflection, I started thinking, I'm like, wait, we have basically a two-party system overall. Of course, they're independents, but there's Democrats and Republicans, and of course, they're independents. And the Tea Party is basically this faction of the Republican Party that has basically is a rogue element, in my opinion, of the Republican Party.
Rogue? You make it sound so sinister, but I don't know. I'm going to take it as a compliment,
well,
but go ahead.
You can say that it's sinister, but let's be very honest. Overall, the Tea Party and all a number of members, and in fact, I don't, quite frankly, I can certainly say this. Of course, we're both African-American.
No, I'm black. I'm black. So.
Okay, black, African-American, okay. However you would like to describe it. But the fact is that oftentimes we see portrayed in the media, and not necessarily in the media, but in newspapers and print, et cetera, all kinds of venom and other kinds of racist things that the Tea Party, on a regular basis, portray and
Oh, Terrence, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to cut you off. You're not, I hate it. I'm up against the break, but you know that is not indigenous to the Tea Party. That's very unfair. And call back again, Terrence. I appreciate it. We're up against the break. 312-591-8900. One Confederate flag at a rally with thousands of people does not define the Tea Party. Why would I be part of a movement that's racist? That makes no sense to me. 312-591-8900. We'll be right back after this short break.
Seen as the Ted Cruz shutdown. You, more than any single individual, were seen as the one that triggered this crisis to begin with.
John, I agree that a lot of D.C. politicians tried to call that, and a lot of the media did, too. But
talking about public opinion nationally.
Let me be very clear. I said throughout this, we shouldn't have a shutdown. I don't want a shutdown. I repeatedly voted to open the government.
There never would have been a shutdown if you hadn't gone with the strategy of saying we're not even going to fund the government for 6 weeks
unless
we can defund Obamacare.
You know what, John? There never would have been a shutdown if Harry Reid and President Obama hadn't said we will not compromise, we will not negotiate, shut the government down.
And that's right from Senator Ted Cruz's own mouth. Exactly. Don't let the media, Obama, and all your friends that voted for him two times tell you that it was all on the GOP. It takes two to tango, in this case, three to tango. And let's pretend that it was all the GOP's fault. But who stood to gain from this shutdown? I would say Nancy Pelosi, all the Democrats, and Obama, because they got to pick and choose who should be affected most by the shutdown. Let's keep out veterans. Let's affect different agencies that didn't need to be affected. It was all on him. 312-591-8900. And to point the blame at this point, it doesn't matter. Let's talk about the future and what's going to happen in 90 days or when the next deadline comes up. What's going to be different about what happened then and what's going to happen? We have to stick to our principles. What's the point of having them? I need someone smarter than myself to explain to me, as Don Wade used to say, the smartest radio listening audience, why would Boehner vote yes? Even if you think you're going to lose on something, I don't understand why we have one lone wolf, Randy Holtgren from Geneva, and I love Geneva, it's a beautiful little town, left them out there all alone, flapping in the wind. But we're from Illinois. We're surrounded. We all know we can spot a rhino, 100 feet away. I'm like, you know, tag them and bag them. We need to identify who they are, and it's time for you to go. And I don't care if you just took office January 3rd, 2013. If you couldn't stand with Ted Cruz and Randy Holcomb, the other people that are willing to take bullets on the front line, knowing that they're going to be called racist, knowing they're going to be called, oh, they just hate Obama because anything with his name, they love health care for poor people. But if you say Obamacare, they just don't want anything to do with that. How dare they not stand up and stand next to these people, shoulder to shoulder? It must be so easy just to say, yeah, I hate Obamacare, but, you know, this wasn't the right time. And I have no patience for that. Seriously, I wish that I had the kind of time, if all my children were in college, I would just love to spend time in between doing laundry or whatever other responsibilities, just going around traveling to different local areas to work on campaigns to unseat people that are not fearless, that are not willing to go to the line with people that are putting their necks out there for us. And it is for everyone. We're going to go right to some calls here. And Hooray George in West Chicago. Jorge. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was maybe his you know, I don't know, Twitter handle. Oh, thank you, Jorge.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. Okay.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Go ahead. I can hear you great. Go ahead with your point.
My concern is, it looks to me like they're not going to be able to pay the debt. And they're so addicted to asking for more and more and more, you know. So, as an example, when you borrow, you have a loan for your vehicle, and you're not able to pay it off, they'll make the report, right? They'll take it away.
Exactly.
So, now, is these people, I mean, the Senate or the U.S., who allow them to borrow and borrow, keep borrowing, they'll be able to sell Hawaii or able to sell Florida or Louisiana or even Illinois?
That's too funny. We should break up the state and sell them off for parts is what you're saying. It is ridiculous. They kept controlling the language, saying that we won't be able to pay our bills. What they were asking for is permission to spend more money. We can pay our bills.
Right. I mean, but China will be ready to buy one of those states.
They're going to repossess one of our states. Very good, Jorge. Thank you for holding on so long. We're going to go right to Art in Seneca.
Right. Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
First of all, I've got several comments. Number one, thank you for referring to yourself as being a black person rather than African-American. That means so much to so many of us.
We keep getting all these labels trying to divide us. We're all Americans. We have different shades, and there's so many colors. I mean, I'm just a black American. If you cut me, I bleed red, white, and blue. I don't know about you, Art.
I fully agree with you. Number two, I am a Tea Party member. And I want to say it to your cousin and to all who think like he does. The only reason the Tea Party movement came into existence was because the Republican Party was failing to do what it was supposed to do. The Republican Party was responsible for ending slavery. The Republican Party is the party that was responsible for passing civil rights. And it kind of stopped there until Reagan. When even the party did not want Reagan. But in his second election, they loved him because the people of the country loved him. But the only reason that we're in existence is because the party was failing to do what it ought to have been doing for some decades.
That first bailout with Bush is when everybody started waking up, when he started bailing out industries, and we didn't have the money. And that's when it was long before Obama took office. And they seem to want to draw it with the fact or make a connection that he was the first black-looking president. And that's what it came along. We were buzzing and simmering long before when we realized we can't keep spending money we don't have.
Exactly right. And my final comment is this. If your cousin and the people like him feel that we are an offshoot, then feel that the Tea Party is an offshoot of the Republican Party, then do they feel the same way about the Democrat Party and the Occupy movement, which caused so much grief? And I've never seen or heard of any Tea Party gathering doing what so many of the Occupy versions did.
Ooh, Art, you hit a home run. Very good. Nobody ever talks about that. I embrace Tea Party, that word, and I meet some of the nicest people at Tea Party events, and I challenge anyone listening, go to a Tea Party event. If you think there are a bunch of people standing around with white pointy hats or they're all draped in Confederate flags, please meet me at one event. I'll meet you at that event, and then we'll go over to Jesse Jackson's event, and we'll see who's the biggest racist. That's all I'm saying. So, Darlene in Tinley Park, thank you for waiting.
Hi, Stephanie. I'm also a Tea Party member of Homer Glenn. I haven't been able to go recently because of medical issues. But you know what? That guy that called previously, those are the people that have never been to any Tea Party event. I have been to several. They're composed of people just like me. I'll be 75 next week. There are young people, old people, patriotic Americans, vets. I'm a teacher. I substitute teach now. And they have these plants in the audience. There wasn't any when I went, but when the liberal media picks up the plants with the big signs, you know, that's all these people can look at, the MSNBC and all these. I don't listen to those stations because my blood pressure would go sky high.
I have a sickness. I'm sorry, darling, to interrupt you. I have to turn to them occasionally just to see what they're talking about. And one day you're going to hear on the news somebody kicks their TV in. That'll be me. But I need to, you know, work on that. Maybe Obamacare will cover it. I don't know.
I have one other comment. Mm-hmm. I happen to be pro-life, and when I was younger, I used to go, and we used to prayerfully pick it. It was by prayer only. The ACT UP people would come in, they'd needle the college kids, we'd kneel and pray, and they'd try to start fights. The police would come because the escorts at the doors would call the police, and then they'd blame it on the pro-life people. It just, you know, it's our whole... Our media is so left of center. I mean, I'm glad we have Fox News. I'm glad we have people like you on the air. And Rush, because as Rush says, you know, it's these low information voters that are have all this garbage going on. But I am concerned about Obamacare because I am on Medicare, and I don't know what's going to be taken away.
I think we all should be concerned, Darlene. 312-591-8900. Thanks for your call. I know when some people hear the four letters Rush, that just makes your flesh crawl. And you, there's no way I'm going to listen to him. He's a blowhard. He's a racist. Okay, if you can't take Rush, the person that's flying under the radar but just laying down the truth every night, that's Mark Levin. Maybe you can't take Rush, but I'm telling you, Mark Levin is knowledgeable because of his background, and I won't go through a list of what he's done. He's accomplished. You can Google it. And he tells you just like it is, and he's not trying to be politically correct. He comes up with some funny nicknames for people that, you know, maybe people think are kind of mean, but hey, the Democrats are very mean. Trust me, I know. And when we talk about the biased media, people still are, they keep throwing, oh, there's, you know, people like Fox. Okay, let's pretend that Fox is totally in the bag for the Republicans. That's one network compared to everyone else that uses certain language. They all get on board, and when Obama starts using the language, then they start using the language lockstep. Who cares? Again, I don't pay a lot of attention to Fox. When I see a story, I try to look for another source just so people won't say, oh, there she is posting things from the Fox. Of course, she's a Tea Party person. And most Tea Party people kind of hold Fox feet to the fire sometime because they don't go far enough. They just go just so far. And what's so interesting in preparation for the show, I'm Googling, you know, who voted for it, who didn't. And some of these people like Mitch McConnell, their websites would come up and they would say conservative. And I'm thinking, no, he's not. And Google, what deal did he get in this? It's supposed to be a clean bill. But, you know, in Washington, there's always earmarks. There are always people that are going to be getting something under the table for nothing. He needs to go. If you were in Congress in 85, okay, it's time for you to go hug your grandkids, go sit on a porch and retire. We need somebody in there that's strong, that's going to be standing with Ted Cruz, not on the morning shows talking about what are we going to do about Ted Cruz. Jean, you're in Chicago. Thank you for holding.
Hello.
Hi, Jean.
Oh. Hi, Stephanie. This is my first time listening, and I'm going to tune in every time you're on this on the air.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much.
Well, it's so refreshing to hear someone who's paying attention and knows what's going on. Have you thought about running for office?
Oh, geez. I no way. I couldn't sit there and lie to people and pretend that I don't think Nancy Pelosi is completely crazy. So, no. At the top of the hour, we are going to change the subject, talking about elected officials and school boards. And people keep asking me, oh, you should run for school board. We will be talking about that. But go ahead with your point, Jean.
My point was I wanted to mention that the Affordable Care Act, you know, Obama and Hillary Clinton studied under Saul Alinsky. Hillary Clinton studied directly under Saul Alinsky, and then Barack Obama studied the principles of Saul Alinsky and Rules for Radicals. And one of the things that Saul Alinsky said, in order for the government to take, you know, to take down the American government, is to take over health care. So that's directly in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and that's why Obama went after health care.
Very good, Jean. Thank you. And people like Jean, if you want to know when I'm on, go to Stephanie Trussell's public page, and I always post when I'm going to be on. You made a good point. if you listen to liberal radio, they think the reason that this Obamacare thing isn't working that is because we didn't go far enough. This was a compromise, in their opinion, having Obamacare, because they want single payer. Do not get confused by that. They think the best thing for us is to have the government be in complete control. And so that's what we need to be watching out for. Raquel in Bolingbrook, thank you for holding, Raquel.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Oh, I'm great.
It's always good listening to you. Listen, I'm black and I'm American, and I absolutely support the Tea Party. The Tea Party is basically fiscal responsibility, limited, smarter, efficient government. And when I think, and there's a third principle in there as well, and fiscal responsibility. Did I say that? Anyhow, the point and free market values. Listen, that has nothing to do with the people as individuals. You can sit in a church and you can have one person who believes in the absolute word of God and behave in such a way. And there's another person sitting next to you who has different behavior when not in church. So that's the same everywhere we go. We cannot escape ignorant people, and we cannot, and that's on both sides of the aisle. And we cannot escape in this world, in this country, people who prejudge people based on their political affiliation. And let me say this: the Tea Party is not a fringe group. The Tea Party people are true Republicans. It's the Republicans that want to capitulate and give in to the liberal Democrats because they think they're going to be liked. But here's the problem: they will never be liked by the Democrats.
Thank you. When did they embrace that? I don't care if Chris Christie, they're never going to like you no matter how many pounds you lose. Thank you, Raquel, for saying that. 312-591-8900. Get on the line now. We'll be back after this short break.
At WLSAM.com.
And good afternoon, Chicagoland. 312-591-8900. We're on 89 WLS, Chicago's talk leader. We're talking about what happened this week. And they caved when we kind of expected Boehner. He hung in there longer than what I expected. And there's this picture on all over the internet of him kind of fist pumping or like in victory. And I'm thinking, yeah, if it were up to me, your days would be numbered. If you'd like to get in on the conversation via sending in a text message, 68683, and in the message box, type in the letters WLS. I got a message from someone on my phone telling me I'm heavy breathing into the mic. So, and I could just pretend that that's just really the sound of smoke coming out of my ears because I'm fired up. But so I'll try to sit back a little bit and not have the heavy breathing right into the mic. We are talking about, again, what went on. I have to admit, it's kind of sad. I mean, after everything that Ted Cruz has worked hard to try to get the message out, at least people are talking about what happened. And I truly believe, as a result of how disastrous this rollout was, that a year from now, when it's time to make some choices, is there any hope? I believe that there is a hope that people will say, wait a minute, Obamacare promised to do this, that, and the other, and it hasn't done that. But again, he somehow has the ability to escape blame for things that he's completely responsible for. And one day somebody's going to write a book about that. That is, nothing sticks to him. No matter what he does, people just give him an A for effort. That would be an E for effort, or the great A is what I'm trying to say, because it's so cute. He's trying. He really is trying hard. And all these racist people are trying to keep him from doing what he really wants to do. And if it wasn't for those obstructionist Tea Party crazy people in the GOP, he could get everything done. And that's just not the case, but that's what they believe. Angela, you're in Prospect Heights. Thank you for holding.
Hi, good. You're welcome. Yeah, regarding the Tea Party, you were talking about so much this hour. The Tea Party came about with that name because it's an acronym, Taxed Enough Already.
Yes.
And that's on purpose. And double up with that is the fact that all levels of government are so corrupt, and I usually spell it with a K, Stephanie. The corruption, we all understand, is very deep and very wide, and we want corruption-free government instead of it being the norm that it is today. And by the way, there's so many monikers for Obama. My favorite one that I devised about maybe 6 years ago is Oblabla.
Very good, because he does go on and on. And he is the best teleprompter reader on the planet. But, yeah, it's just a whole lot of talking about how it's their fault and it's not my fault. And what my favorite thing he always does is just not me. Why does he have to have these imaginary people that are always backing up on him up on whatever crazy statement he's about this? I don't care if it's only me. I'm sure Ted Cruz doesn't care if he's the only one out there saying what he has to say. But he is just famous for just talking a whole lot about nothing and just being able to lie with a straight face and get away with it and not be held accountable for it.
Stephanie, we all know, and I'm going to say it out loud, he is Saul Alinsky's star pupil.
Oh, for sure. He did study. Maybe he didn't study well up on the Constitution if he taught it. I don't know what the rules are, whatever. But, yeah, being Rules for Radical, he must have gotten an A in that class for sure. And thank you again for calling in today. Steve, you're on the Gold Coast.
Yes, I wanted to make a couple of points, if I might. This sort of reference that you hear, an echo of, you know, sort of Glenn Beck world, Glenn Beckistan, of Saul Alinsky and the sort of influence that he's had on Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. I mean, this absurd notion that these people who have been a wonderful gambit for the people who advocate for capitalism, who advocate for the free market. I mean, if you are a person of wealth, you have done nothing but done well under a Barack Obama. So this is not exactly a moniker of socialism. So, and the people who talk about, you know, he is an advocate for the left, the true left in this country feels that Barack Obama sold them out.
Exactly. And when you think about Obamacare, he gave big business a break, not the individual. So they keep talking about he's for poor people, he's for the common man, and everything he's done has made the 1% get richer.
And I would agree with that. And this is where a lot of people who advocate single payer are saying that, you know what, the very critiques that people offer up against Obamacare, the complexity, the website's not working, all of that could have been done away with a single payer plan that mimics what the rest of the Western industrialized world has. People in France and Denmark, Norway, Germany, Canada are not out in the streets protesting their single payer system.
Well, they've been lulled into. Well, you're not for single payer, are you, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Oh, my goodness. How'd you get on the line? No way. That's the worst thing that could happen to us. The government in charge of our health care.
The rest of the Western industrialized world is wrong.
No. We are the leaders. People should be doing what we're doing. I don't care what everybody else is doing. People are dying to get to America every day in boats and walking across the desert. They're not trying to get to Canada. But thank you anyway. 312-591-8900. Let's change the topic in the next hour. We're going to talk about school board officials versus the responsibilities that they have, and their right to have privacy, and children being students and their right to have privacy when they're not at school. Again, the number's 312-591-8900. We're on Chicago's Talk Leader, 89 WLS, and I'm Stephanie Trussell. 89 WLS.